Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Now at McDonald's, a McDouble is only $2.50. So you can get your gym gains on or just get lunch for only $2.50. Get more value on the under $3 menu.
Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezovic, reporter Nick Kieser behind the glass. Nick is officially reporting the Titans have hired Rand Carthon as their new general manager. Don't shake your head. I'm propping you up.
Well, thank you, Chaser.
Yeah, you're
welcome.
We
got the suit, the reporter, and the professor.
That's
class
right.
Starts next week.
That's right. We need a promo. The suit, the professor, the reporter, Chase and Michelle. Weekdays from 9 to 11.
What a trio.
So Rand Carthon officially announced by the Titans as the new GM, 14th in their history. It looks like a press conference set potentially or tentatively for Friday. I'm excited about this. Here's the other thing. There's two things that we haven't mentioned yet that I think are important. Number one, he's the first African-American general manager in the history of the franchise, mm-hmm. which I think is really cool and something that should be said for that. He's 41 years old. That's another thing. I like that we're getting – and John was that way too, but I can't remember how old. I think John was probably around the same age, maybe younger when he was hired. But I think that's important. I mean, because you need some – the guy that's picking the players, the fact that he's closer in age to the players, I think – says something. You know, it shows that he's not that far removed from the game, and he got a cup of coffee in the NFL. I actually saw a clip last night
from Peyton.
Yeah. I need to look at the roster, but I think Kelly Holcomb probably played with him. Maybe Kelly's somebody to talk to about Rand Carthon. But
you know who's somebody to talk to? Steve Spurrier, his college coach.
Well, I heard he called Joe in the middle of the show, so you know that I have a feeling that's probably going
to
happen.
Yeah, we had him on one of my first weeks I started working here, and I actually meant to tell the guys today, but yeah, he'd be a great one to talk to him about. In his early days at Florida, won an SEC championship in 2000, coming back to SEC country.
Yeah.
I don't know how he'll feel about Vols fans everywhere. He's a Florida guy.
I can't. I need Steve Spurrier to be on this radio station. That just nothing bad can come.
Ball
of that.
Coach.
The old ball coach.
Old ball coach.
Hey, guys. Can't spell citrus.
That's what I'm
too.
Saying. I feel like we could get some really good stories about him in his young days, which would be great when meeting him. But you mentioned, Chase, tentative press conference scheduled for Friday, and it's official. He officially is the Tennessee Titans' new general manager after a report circulated yesterday from Diana Rossini and Ian Rappaport and Adam Schefter as well. So it is official, and we'll be hopefully hearing from him Friday.
Yeah, and I know Paul Kaharsky was on Robbie and Rex Road earlier this morning, and good to have Paul back on after the passing of his father. But Paul gave his comments on Rand Carthon as the new Titans GM.
Maybe the most significant quote we've seen from Carthon in stuff that's been written about him is how much he's learned from watching John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan work together, collaborate. That's what I wrote last night, is about what a collaborative guy Carthon is from three people I've talked to, including Jeff Fisher, who worked with him in St. Louis with the Rams and maybe during the transition to Los Angeles. But Carthon talked about, you know, watching coach and GM and just kind of learning what the coach needs in a player at a position and being able to provide him with that. And we all know, that was a little bit of the dysfunction's a strong word, but that's kind of what came apart in the roster construction for the Titans with John Robinson. So it sounds like exactly what Amy Adams Strunk was looking for from the moment that she issued that release about letting John Robinson go on December 6th.
And I think, again, it goes back to that collaboration word and how important that is going to be. And Paul makes a great point. I mean, San Francisco, the collaboration that they've had with that roster and building that team up, you know, they've made Super Bowl appearances. They're on a path to potentially do it again this year with Brock Purdy, with Mr. Irrelevant, a seventh-round pick, the last pick in the draft, as their quarterback. That right there is what really, really it makes me excited.
Well, and I think a lot of times, too, when people look at the 49ers, you know, they think Kyle Shanahan, right? This genius coach. He's been successful in Atlanta, right? And now what he's done with the 49ers and Jimmy G. But a lot of the times, you know, the GM and the back end of things don't get as much spotlight because they're not the head coach. But with this hiring of Rand Carthon, you know, you're looking into more of, okay, what they've done over there, bringing guys up, drafting guys late in the rounds who are able to help this team and help build a championship roster. And, I mean, this team, they didn't have a first-round pick last year because of Trey Lance or this year. So they've been able to make do, and they've been able to make bold moves, like going and getting a Christian McCaffrey in the middle of the season, like waiting on Deebo Samuel because you knew you needed him to have a championship roster and waiting to sign him to that big contract. All of these decisions that have been made by John Lynch and with Carthon sitting underneath him and watching his collaboration with Kyle Shanahan and how they decide, you know, what big moves to make, how they decide to draft and different things like that. All of that experience that he's had in San Francisco for the last 5.5 years under, I would say, probably the best coach GM combo in the league right now, is going to be huge coming here. And if he can have that same relationship, that same collaborative work effort with Mike Vrabel, then the future of this franchise is looking bright.
So since 2017, which is when John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan got to San Francisco, they went that year, took over for Chip Kelly, that mess there. That's when this whole the rebuild, retooling, whatever you want to call it, started. You had Robert Saleh that was there, Mike LaFleur, Mike McDaniel. Was on that staff, D'Amico Ryans, who's probably about to become a head coach. They went 6-10, then they went 4-12. So the first couple of years had a lot of work to do. Then they go 13-3. They lose to the Super Bowl in Kansas City with Jimmy G as the quarterback. 2020, things kind of fall back, 6-10. They had a lot of injuries. 2021, 10-7, and they lost. We saw they lost in the conference championship to the Rams. And then this year, they're 13-4, win the NFC West, and who knows how far they're going to go.
With three different quarterbacks.
Yeah, with three different quarterbacks. I mean, it's remarkable. But it shows you – now, the jury's still out. They haven't won anything yet. But it shows you when you have a strong roster around that guy, if he's not an elite franchise quarterback, which they don't have that, then you can go places. And that's going to be the goal – for Rand Carthon here, if they decide to stick with Ryan Tannehill, which is what I think they're going to ultimately end up doing, then you got to, as Mike Vrabel said last year, got to be great around him.
Great around Ryan Tannehill. And that was the last thing that they were able to do this season. That was one of the biggest messages from last year to this year, is the team needs to be great around him, because he's not like a Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen. And only a handful of teams have guys who are like that and have the ability of taking over a game and can make up for some mistakes that are made on the field. Whereas Ryan Tannehill's not that type of quarterback, but he's a better option than a lot of other guys in the league right now. And also, too, in addition to the whole Trey Lance, Jimmy G, and how they were able to just make that strong roster, what about the decision into just signing Jimmy G to a cheaper contract when they knew Trey Lance was going to start before he got injured? That was a genius move. You can't predict that your star quarterback is going to get is going to have a season-ending injury on the first game of the year, but you could have got something from Jimmy G. A lot of teams were looking for quarterbacks at that time of the year.
I don't know. That's the curious one, and I think, to your point, and I halfway agree with you, that it was patience. It just showed the patience that John Lynch had
with him and
to wait it out. But at the same time, I do think they shopped Jimmy G. Just teams weren't going to give him what they wanted. They weren't biting, and ultimately, it made sense to redo the deal. Jimmy G took a significant pay cut. But it made sense for him. Unfortunately, got hurt again. I do think he's going to get another opportunity, but, you know, it could be San Francisco and it could be somewhere else, likely somewhere else. But if you believe my Madden simulation, he'll go to the Giants, which makes no sense. But, you know, whatever. But I think,
oh, your simulation of drafting already. I can't even get into that yet.
Yeah, no. But and I know Mark and Paris says, besides free agency, I want to see solid drafting, not taking Isaiah Wilson or picking Farley over left tackle Christian Darrisaw. I could list a dozen. I'm excited to see what happens. That's going to be the big thing is talent evaluation and drafting. And there is something that I want everybody to pay attention to when it comes to this year. I'll explain that coming up next. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Going away a little bit from Derrick Henry, what do you think is the profile?
Yeah, I don't think that means you go away from Derrick Henry. Here's what I think. I think Matt Nagy was highly regarded before the Bears job. The Bears, as the head coach, that didn't work out. I think a lot of that could be looked at in terms of, you know, maybe the quarterback situation wasn't great there. The fact that Andy brought him back to Kansas City, I think, speaks to Andy's feeling about Matt Nagy. Whereas, you know, sometimes when guys, you know, leave and get an opportunity, sometimes the head coach is helping him get out the door. Would like to see him leave. And then, you know, when he doesn't hire him back, I think it tells you a little something. So the fact they brought him back, I think, is interesting. And I would say this. I don't think that there's a coach in the NFL over the period of time offensively that's been as good as Andy. And so I think it makes a lot of sense.
It's Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, yesterday with Caroline Willie and D-Mace talking about the offensive coordinator position for the Tennessee Titans. Obviously, now things will all have to align with the new GM, with Mike Vrabel. Rand Carthon announced as the new Titans general manager. And so the first big hire of the offseason has been taken care of, and now you get to the offensive coordinator. But a point I was going to make about the draft, and again, this is all-encompassing. Chase McCabe, Michelle Knezovic here with you. The draft process for teams has begun. So the scouting staff that John Robinson had in place, that's the scouting staff you're going to roll with through this draft. So Rand Carthon is going to inherit a personnel department. You know, who knows if Ryan Cowden's going to be a part of that. I think that's an interesting piece in all of this, you know, that how much did he think he was going to get the job? He's been the interim GM. He didn't get the job. He's still under contract. Is he still going to be a part of things? Is he going to want to move on? I wouldn't be so quick to say that he's going to move on. We don't know some of the discussions that took place behind the scenes, but the scouting department is the interesting one. And here's why I say it's interesting. Chances are Rand Carthon's going to bring his own people in, just like John Robinson did. After the first draft, you go through and you move on from people and bring your own in. But what if this draft turns out to be a really good one? what does that tell us? Because that tells a story that if you know, and obviously he's going to be the one making the picks, but if he's going off the scouting of John Robinson guys, does that mean that John didn't listen to them? Or does that mean that, you know, things were maybe a little better than we thought they were? Or if it turns out to this not be a good one, you know, that could tell us a story too. But I think it's interesting to see. It's kind of like the old adage of a coach takes over a roster, and it's like, well, that was the previous coach's recruits.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of got to let the recruiting cycle go through before you can really judge how a coach does. But I'm curious to see that from a player evaluation standpoint with a transitional staff.
Yeah, it's always an interesting point you get to, right? You have to kind of like use these, you know, use the staff you have right now. He's coming in, doesn't have his specific guys, which you need a whole team, which you talked about this early on the show. You need a whole team when it comes to the entire draft process. You can't do it all yourself. But yes, you know, the fails and the great picks pretty much fall on the general manager. That's the name that you hear when it's, oh, they killed this draft. Oh, they had a really, really bad draft. But I agree, Chase. I think if this is a solid draft for the Tennessee Titans and we see a lot of rookies being playmakers the following season and being able to make an impression right off the bat, I think it's very easy for people to say, oh, this was John Robinson just not taking advice of his scouts, or it's very easy to jump to conclusions, just like it is with the Todd Downing-Tim Kelly situation. When there was a bad call, it was always Todd Downing's fault. And when it was a good, oh, that must have been Tim Kelly. That must have been Tim Kelly. Mm-hmm. Right? None of the bad offensive play calls, none of the bad offensive moves were blamed on Tim Kelly. It was always on Todd Downing. Yes, because he is the offensive coordinator and they hold that position. So at the end of the day, it is their responsibility. But there are a lot of other people making decisions or helping make decisions underneath them.
Yeah, and I think what's big is, you know, I heard Paul Kaharsky this morning say that, you know, he thought that John had himself surrounded with a bunch of yes men. I don't know if that's true or not, but I do know there are a lot of people in power that do that. They want it their way. Mm-hmm. They don't want to hear any other alternative, and they just want to be told yes. And that's fine. And it doesn't always work, but and in this case, if that's true, it didn't work. For me, you know, and I've learned this in the last year being PD here at 102.5 The Game, that I want somebody that's going to challenge me. Now, ultimately, it is going to be my decision on a lot of things, but I like seeing the alternatives. I think the alternatives are important. I think you should do that and weigh in any decision. You should have that person that you trust, that you know that they're not going to sabotage you, but they're going to tell you, hey, you know, I understand what you're saying, but what about this? Mm-hmm. You know, here's an alternative view. And whether you decide to go with it or not is your decision, but I'm all about that in any decision that I make in life. You know, that I'm a big, like, talk it out. You know, this is what we're going to do. I don't like yes people. That's not what I want. And so I think if Rand Carthon has the – you know, and he and Vrabel and their collaboration, which Josh in Whitehouse says he's tired of hearing the word collaboration, made me laugh. But I think it's important to have the, you know, the circle of trust and the people that are going to go, you know, hey, here is every possible scenario and every alternative.
I agree, Chase. And I think it's very, very easy, though, to look from the outside and say, you know, this is what I would do in a situation like that. Or, you know, all I care at the end of the day about having a winning football team. But sometimes when people get in positions of power, you know, like ego can kick in and you think, you know, and I'm not saying that this is John Robinson. I'm not saying this is Rand Carthon. I'm just saying, you know, on the other side of it, it's very easy to say, yes, we want to be very collaborative. We want everyone's opinions because we believe that that'll make us the best. But I mean, sometimes they're going to say, you know, nope, I'm not trusting this opinion. I want to go my way. Sometimes it's wrong, but that comes with the territory. And being a general manager, you need to be able to take that because you are not going to hit on every single decision. And yes, it's easy to say, you know, I want to be collaborative and I want all the scouts' opinions on this, or not even all of them, but maybe certain ones that you have. Okay, I trust you a little bit more. I've seen your background, things like that. But at the end of the day, it is his decision if he doesn't fully trust you.
Yeah, and he has to be willing. That's the other part.
He has to be willing to let go of a little control.
But he has to be willing to make a decision. That's the hardest part of leadership and being in a leadership position is you weigh all the facts, you talk it out, but then at the end of the day, you're the one that's got to make the call, and you got to stick with the call. And you also have to be willing to know that some calls are going to be right, some calls are going to be wrong. I mean, Mike Vrabel's learned that as a head coach. There's some decisions that he make that work out and are the right call. Some don't. And you have to be you literally have to have the mind of a goldfish. You have to be able to, if it doesn't work, it's like a quarterback. You have to have a short memory. If you throw a pick, you go to the sideline, you look at it, okay, this is what happened, you go out, next series.
Well, and it's really important, too, for fans, when you're having a new general manager coming in, you know, we can't hold on to the A.J. Brown trade, you know, as much as you might want to, but those were all decisions made by the old leadership committee, right? This is a new page, so you have to give him a clean slate, right? You can't hold the past draft mistakes against him because he's a new person and this is a new era of the team. So I think that's also really important too. Even if you're a Titans fan, you might have some sour taste in your mouth of, you know, an Isaiah Wilson, of a Dylan Raidens, Caleb Farley, some picks that haven't fully panned out for the Titans, or even an A.J. Brown trade. But when or if Rand Carthon wants to, you know, make a pick or make a big trade or something like that, you have to see him out for it and at least commend him for making, you know, a bold decision when he comes in to be the head. Well, him and Vrabel head. We don't really know.
Collaboration.
Collaborative head of the team.
We need big voice guy saying collaboration.
Somebody on the text line actually said, John from White House, I don't know about y'all, but I'm tired of hearing the word collaboration. The Tennessee collaborators, Josh from White House.
That's a good
well,
one.
Get ready, Josh, because I feel like I'm probably going to hear it a lot in the press conference. I'm not sure if Amy would speak on Friday.
She should.
So that'll be interesting.
I think she will.
So the email from the PR staff with the Titans just said that media would tentatively be Friday, assuming Rand will speak, and then it'll be...
I wonder if Vrabel's a part of it.
Maybe them three? I don't know. That'll be really interesting.
I think it's Rand Carthon, obviously.
Yeah.
Amy, and then maybe Burke Nyhill, because he's the president.
Yeah.
So I could see it being that, even though... I don't know how much he was.
If Vrabel's out there, then it's definitely those two having equal power. I personally believe.
I agree. It could be interesting.
I mean, we'll never know because that's all behind the scenes, and Vrabel probably won't let us in on that. But
probably not.
that'll be interesting. That'll be interesting to see. I hope, and she should speak on Friday. But also too, knowing that if she does speak, I guarantee you there'll be some John Robinson questions.
Oh, no doubt. So coming up next, the offensive coordinator. Now that the GM part is done, how will this impact the OC? We'll discuss more of that, some of the candidates that are out there, and whether they stay outside the family once again. 615-737-1025. You're listening to Chase and Michelle, presented by Hair Club. Love your hair, live your life. Creating custom hair loss solutions for men and women here on 1025, 1063, The Game. Hey, the Preds play tomorrow night, and it's your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by TJ Anderson, Homes of Benchmark Realty and Superbook Sports. If you correctly guess a Preds player that scores a goal in the game tomorrow night, you win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. Participate in Preds Pick to Click tomorrow morning at 8:45 with Robbie and Rex Rowe. Chase and Michelle, Nick Keezer, 1025, 1063, The Game, good song. Bringing us back, Nick, well done by you. Talking about the Titans and general manager Rand Carthon being announced and how that affects the offensive coordinator position and what they're going to do now. Now, I had said that I felt, and look, I was really surprised yesterday afternoon when this came out. I thought Ryan Cowden was going to be the GM of this team, and they go outside. And that's that feedback from fans basically is, I'm so glad they went outside. That they got somebody outside the organization, you know, outside of the Patriots family, even though there are connections. There are always connections.
It's a family tree. Keeps growing.
But they did that. And I kind of felt that they were going to do that with offensive coordinator, even though a lot of people seem to believe my original premise of Tim Kelly is going to end up being the OC. Maybe now that's even more likely. Because you're going to stay with a similar type of offense that they run in San Francisco if you go with Tim Kelly. Tim Hasselbeck said yesterday he felt like Matt Nagy would be, you know, a really good fit here, that's somebody that they should definitely look at. Eric Bieniemy is another one. I've seen Charles London's name out there as a potential candidate. So what do you think? Do you think that they just ultimately circle back to Tim Kelly, or do they stay with the theme and go outside the family for the OC?
I always thought, I think, since the beginning of the GM firing, I always had a strong inkling that they were going to go outside of things. I know that some people thought, you know, that they fired J-Rob in the middle of the season. They already know who they want. But I actually do think that they were, you know, watching and searching and picked a really bright star in Rand Carthon. And I've been pretty set, I think, on the Tim Kelly will be the OC, because when Vrabel hired Todd Downing, he wanted to interview Tim Kelly when he was with the Texans. So then to bring him in once, you know, he wasn't on the Texans staff anymore, and to bring him in as a passing game coordinator to make a position for him on his staff really signaled to me, okay, there's a reason that Tim Kelly took a step back. There's a reason that he took this position, not as an OC, but as a passing game coordinator with Vrabel. Because I just truly don't believe, you know, you were the Texans OC, you had Deshaun Watson in his prime, you know, you were successful. He probably could get an offensive coordinator job somewhere. Yeah. And he also hasn't been in the mix, because we mentioned there's six teams right now looking for offensive coordinators. I also haven't heard his name that he's been interviewing for any other position. Mm-hmm. And that also signals to me one thing that Vrabel mentioned at the end of the year was, you know, he doesn't want his guys worrying about interviewing for other positions. And a lot of times, you know, these offensive coordinator positions, they're reaching out to, like, I would not be surprised if he's gotten reached out to for an interview for one of these teams that are looking for a guy right now.
Maybe, but I think we would know that.
That's what I'm saying. And that leads me to think, you know, he's like, no, I'm loyal to this Tennessee Titans organization. I'm loyal to Mike, because he truly believes that he'll be the next OC, or that's what he wants.
Or maybe the league looks at him as, you know, maybe he's not the right guy to be OC. Because here's what we don't know. And this I'll give Vrabel credit on, because he does this by design. We have no idea what a title means to a role in that organization, if we're being really honest. Like, under Vrabel, passing game coordinator. Okay, I think I know what that means, but my definition of it and Vrabel's definition of it may be two different things. How involved was Tim Kelly with the offensive game plan? Was there a point, you know, I've heard this hypothesized, that there was a point where Todd Downing was still the OC in title, he was still calling the plays, but he didn't have final say on it. He wasn't designing the game plan. Vrabel had a lot to do with that. How much did Tim Kelly have to do?
Who said that?
I've just seen that out there.
Oh.
And Vrabel has hinted a couple of times that, no, that was my call, or, oh, I have final say on the plays. Like, I know he said that in press conferences. So how involved was Tim Kelly? And was there a point where, you know, Vrabel is like, okay, this isn't working either?
Well, I mean, I know that a lot he worked with, like, the tight ends. That's usually, like, where you would see. As far as, you know, Todd Downing's role, I think when Vrabel got up and when people were asking about Todd Downing's specific play calling and things like that, and Vrabel saying, you know, well, I have final say, I think that was more of him just being like, well, I'm the head coach. Basically, stop asking me these Todd Downing play call questions. Like, I know what he's going to call. I don't have, you know, every second in a game to be like, no, do this or something like that. But he was more of like, I'm aware of what he's calling. As far as, you know, different roles within the offense as the season's moving on, I think a lot of that is speculation from people, because, you know, the only people who truly know what was going on are those three and the people who are in those practices. But I still believe, you know, what team wouldn't look at a Tim Kelly who operated a very successful offense? Yes, I know, with Deshaun Watson, but also look at Green Bay's offense last year with Nathaniel Hackett, and then look at his offense in with the Broncos. So, wah, right, wah. There are a lot of different, you know, it's not always X's and O's. It's not always, oh, because they were great there, you know, I just truly think that, you know, he couldn't hire him right away. He brings him in because he already hired Todd Downing. He needed an OC, and he's sitting there in the wings waiting. And I also think that he probably has gotten asked to interview for an OC job because there are so many open right now, and you can't remiss the facts that he was really successful with the Texans when he had Deshaun Watson. I know he had Deshaun Watson, but he still was pretty successful for it. People can mess up offense. I mean, you had Russell Wilson in with the Broncos, and that offense sucked.
Yeah, but that, I mean, that whole thing's just a bleep show.
So, I don't know. I still am very strong on Tim Kelly. I think the main problem with this team is personnel, and that is a GM situation. So, you go outside, you
change. So, your pick is Tim Kelly?
Yeah.
And because of why? Because of what it, because of what you saw with Houston and Deshaun, or
no,
because you think he's just a Vrabel guy and he fits?
Well, it's because I think it's – well, I've always thought he was, you know, the, you know, lead candidate for it. And I think of the whole – why would he come here and take this role if he didn't eventually want to be an offensive coordinator again someday?
Fair. I mean, you could
– and Vrabel wanted him
you
as
could have
his
asked
OC.
The same thing about Todd Downing, too, because Todd Downing was an OC in Oakland, and then he came here as a tight ends coach. I mean, that probably was the case.
But Vrabel wanted to interview him for OC and couldn't when he was
very
with
good
the
point.
Texans.
That's a very good point. He couldn't get permission for it. The thing, and I wonder too, in all of this, is if Amy Adams Strunk doesn't fire John Robinson midseason, would Vrabel have pulled the trigger and put Tim Kelly in the OC role? But because John got fired, and it was, I mean, that's what, that was where things went sideways or starting to go sideways. It was it just like, look, we got to ride this out right now, and then we'll make the change. I have wondered that quite
like
a bit.
Like firing Todd midseason?
Either firing him or basically, you know, stripping him of play calling duties and put Tim Kelly in that role.
I could see where, you know, you're coming from in the, okay, well, if J-Rob's not fired and that big domino doesn't fall, do you make another move as far as, you know, your offense? It's tough to say, honestly, looking at it. I think you could look at it and say, you know, maybe Tim Kelly plays a bigger role as far as firing him midseason. Vrabel is the number one guy to say, you know, distractions are the worst thing for the team. So yeah. I do think he would have rode it out with him as the OC, but maybe Tim Kelly would have played more of a role. We don't know what his role was or how much he even has played a role in this offense, but I still don't think he would have fired him midseason just based off of the...
I mean, he kept him after the DUI. So.
Yeah, that would have probably been the perfect time for it. If he knew that he was going to fire him at the end of the season, which I do think Vrabel knew, considering he got fired right after his press conference. And Robbie mentioned this tweet, a reporter, and I can't think of her name off the top of my head, reported that somebody who they were interviewing for the OC, oh, it was Bieniemy and Matt Nagy, they had talked to over a week ago, which would have been before his press conference. Or which would have been before the game on Saturday when they played in Jacksonville.
Yeah, potentially.
So I do think he already had his mind up made up with Todd Downing, but I don't think that he would have chose to fire him midseason because I just don't think he wanted it to be a distraction to the team, which
how much
the J-Rob one was.
Rand Carthon named the general manager of the Tennessee Titans. We talk about collaboration. How much input did Mike Vrabel have in this? We'll come back, discuss that, get you set for Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace. That's all next here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
I believe in a situation like this, Rand comes in, and most GMs will come in, take an assessment of what they have in the personnel department. Let's just assume there's 20 scouts in the personnel department. And more than likely, he'll have relationships with, I don't know, half to three quarters, one way or another. And those that he doesn't, he will give them more than likely an opportunity to see how they play out during the spring, how they report, what their reports are like, how they articulate their thoughts, and how their evaluating prowess might be before any decisions are made. Most times these general managers don't want to come in and slash and burn. It's just not the way. It used to be that way more so, unless you have an issue. Now, this is a situation with with Mike Vrabel being there, and I'm sure he has a really good understanding of that scouting staff, and I'm sure he's going to impart his wisdom and insight to Rand, and they're going to come to some decisions together. Even though Rand will have full say on who he's hiring there, he will tap into the knowledge the head coach has as per how these guys evaluate, how they project, how the pro department is versus the college department. Rand, again, has a really good eye on that, but there's no question he's going to tap in to their head coach to make final decisions on that staff.
That's Thomas Dimitroff on SiriusXM Radio, the former Falcons GM. Chase and Michelle, reporter Nick here, 102.5, 106.3, the game. That sounds like collaboration. That's what that sounds like right there. But I think that's important. I mean, you know, John and J-Rob and Vrabel collaborated. They got a nickname, Vray-Rob.
So somebody came up with one during our show today.
Oh, no. Do we already have a nickname? We don't need nicknames for everything.
It's Vraycon?
Vraycon?
I think so. I got to ask Joe. Joe loved it. Joe's like, yes.
That sounds like pest control.
I know. I thought like something like Vraython.
Yeah, cause like where's the K?
I don't know.
Vraycon?
Text us Vray-thon? In a nickname. Text us in. J-Rob or Vray-Rob was good. That really
Vray-Rob worked.
That flowed well.
But like again, my get off my lawn pet peeve of the day. we don't need nicknames for everything. Like we always have to put a name on a line for the Predators, and
true.
You know, like that's a hockey thing. I feel like every team has that, like the HBK line or the grind line
whatever. I don't care if you want to name things, but make it cool. If it's got a cool name, like yeah, but don't try to like make something fetch because it's not fetch.
Well done. It is Wednesday.
It is Wednesday.
We're not wearing
pink.
I know. We need
Nick,
to wear pink.
No pink over there. Okay.
Do you know that movie, Nick?
No, I want to say Pink Panther, but
no, Mean Girls.
Turn your mic off. You're done.
That was almost as bad as your Pecorino joke to Max yesterday.
Oh, the finished one. Yeah. Yeah. You know. Well, okay. We're even now. You're right.
Okay, but I wanted to read this tweet on air. This is by David Lombardi. He covers the 49ers for The Athletic, just on the hiring of Rand Carthon. And this is what he said on Twitter. Quote, "This is a byproduct of success in building the NFL's deepest roster. Other teams want the personnel guys who made it happen. Rand Carthon was with the 49ers since John Lynch and Adam Peters arrived in 2017. San Fran's track record in the lower rounds has been unbeatable since then. The lower rounds are the scouting department's rounds. That's where their operation shines. And Rand Carthon operated that part of the 49ers machines. So he indisputably, by the results, suggested he did a great job."
I think that is very telling because, look, the head coach is going to know the top guys.
Of course.
You know, like
most people are.
He can look at a mock draft and be familiar with those guys in the first two, maybe three rounds. But I think that's very true, that you got to have the scouts. And like I know a couple scouts that they're going to research players that you've never heard of.
Mm-hmm.
But those are important. And I mean, how many times have we seen, you know, guys in the later rounds? Tom Brady obviously is the most famous one, come out and be just a stud for a team. I mean,
well, and not even superstars like that too. Yes, they've played, you know, a significant, if you can find a diamond in the rough like that, but look at it from this angle too. Not even trying to find that one in a million quarterback like Brady, or we talked about a Kittle who was really late, one of the best tight ends now in the league, but talk about depth on your roster. Mm-hmm. If you hit on the guys that in the top rounds, you don't need those later guy rounds to play such a significant role. And that's what we noticed this year with this Tennessee Titans roster. They didn't have depth at significant positions, such as your offensive line, such as your secondary. That is a big part too that he needs to hit on. Not only in your first, you basically need to hit on all rounds because this team needs significant help as far as the depth on this roster.
Yeah, and that's what I want to see them get back to. Because one thing that, and again, Jeff Fisher is going to join Caroline Willie and D-Mace at 11:30 today. One thing that really stood out during that era with Jeff and Floyd is they would find those diamonds in the rough. And, you know, like Courtland Finnegan was a late-round pick. was somebody that was a mainstay on this team. You look now, guys like David Long, you know, that were in the later rounds. I mean, I know he's a third round pick, which third round is still, you know, considered top rounds. But Kevin Byard didn't go to the combine. I mean, Dick LeBeau went to his pro day and thought that, okay, this is a guy I would love to coach. And now he's an all-pro safety in the National Football League. So
one of the most impactful players on your team as far as leadership, as far as work ethic, I mean, heart and soul of your team, and as far as durability, a guy who's been able to be on the field for you year in and year out.
So I just think it is certainly going to be a word that I know people are going to get tired of, but a collaboration. I thought Thomas Dimitroff's point, though, of, you know, the head coach will be able to kind of tell him a lot about the scouting staff and things that they see, and then we'll see what changes get made, you know, and there will be. I mean, there will be guys that after the draft will get let go, and they'll bring in new guys. I mean, that's a part of it. That's what J-Rob did. But I think this is going to be quite the process, as I'm laughing a little bit because somebody just tweeted, Blake Tucker says, how far we've come, and it's a picture of Rustin Webster, Ken Wisenhunt, and Tommy Smith.
We've
come a long way from that.
I think the way this franchise has transformed, and I wasn't here during the losing years, right? But the fans expect to win. They have felt what it tastes like to have a winning team, to win a division title, to go to the AFC Championship, and they're not ready to give that up. So I think what we've seen, or at least I've seen on our text line from callers, from fans on Twitter, is that they're really pleased that the Tennessee Titans stepped out of their comfort zone and went and made a big move at GM, a young guy, a part of one of the most successful franchises as of recent, you know, within the last couple of years. And although they might not know, you know, in depth about him yet, we're learning. We're going to be meeting him hopefully on Friday. The press conference is tentative, but you know, it's been a pretty positive reaction that the Tennessee Titans went outside of house to hire him.
I know one thing. I think that there, and this would be beneficial for you. It would be beneficial for Titans fans. You know, talk to some people that lived those days. We need to get Michael Griffin on the show. He lived those days when they weren't very good. And for people that want to be like, oh, let's blow it up and rebuild, talk to some people that lived that before. Because
some of you season ticket holders since the beginning,
they know. But like Jason McCourty, who's on Good Morning Football now. Yep. I mean, we've had him on several times, and he's like, man, we did a lot of losing. Jarrell Casey, Mike Griffin. I mean, like, we did a lot of losing, and that was hard. And especially if you're somebody that came from, you know, like Derrick Henry came in as things were starting to turn around, but Derrick Henry didn't know what losing was like. He did a lot of winning, and a lot of guys that come in and don't know what it's like, they struggle with it.
Well, and that was what a lot of this roster was this year. I mean, Taylor Lewan was the only guy who had been a part of this franchise when they had a losing season.
Yeah.
So even for them to lose seven in a row, they don't know that feeling. I mean, the guys who didn't go to Bama or some of the more successful collegiate programs, you know, they knew what it felt like, but they didn't know what it felt like in this building.
Yeah, and I do think that is an important aspect of things, that you got to kind of know, you know, you got to know how to win, but you got to know how to take the losses and learn from them too. So Rand Carthon officially named the general manager of the Tennessee Titans. Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace will have much more on that. We'll get their reaction. Former Titans head coach Jeff Fisher, who worked with Rand Carthon in St. Louis and L.A., we'll join them at 11:30. We'll have more on all of this tomorrow, starting at 9, here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.